right, back to it now. My next guest, Steve Doolin, professor of gun policy and gun laws and so forth, an attorney who deals with gun laws a lot. And we had him on, well, we have him on every week, because he's just dashing and intelligent and just remarkable in all ways. Isn't that right, Doolin?
Well, I'm certainly not going to argue with you.
Anyhow.
Thank you.
So, yeah, dashing and intelligent. And look, we have this picture of you. Look, it's black and white picture. It's like Hollywood, 1945. It's beautiful. It's like you need a little fedora. Anyhow, that's just for the people on TV enjoying the beautiful Steve Doolin. I want to ask you more about this 1,000-page ATF rules. I think you're able to look at it a little bit more. Obviously, you're a gun guy. 1,000 pages. So here was the question, and I don't know these answers. My son is on a trap shooting team, right? He's not old enough to go buy a gun himself, so we have to give him a gun. I'm told that's okay. But can I give the gun to somebody else to take him to practice? I don't think I can in this new world of gun laws. I don't think that I can hand an over-under shotgun, 20-gauge, very basic piece of equipment, to a third party to take my kid to shooting practice. Am I right or wrong?
Well, you know, the fact that you're not sure is exactly the goal of this thing. It is meant to dissuade people from, you know, in general, they're trying to dissuade us from owning guns, but certainly from just doing what we consider as gun owners sort of normal behavior. And the truth is there's room for interpretation here. And we can't trust the ATF. We know that. Because they spent a long time, years, telling people pistol braces were fine, and then suddenly changed their minds and decided that pistol braces are no longer fine, that they're actually short-barreled rifles. And so the fact that this rule could be interpreted to prohibit the kind of behavior that you're talking about, let's say I was going to drive your boy to practice, and you said, hey, Steve, I'm going to throw this shotgun in the back of your truck, and that's what's in the case. And I say, okay, cool, man. As of right now, we'd be fine. I'm a lawful gun owner. There's no reason I can't be trusted with the gun. Your son's allowed to use it for the purposes of training and hunting. We'd be fine. But the fact that we're not sure, and even after some, you know, reading and discussion, we're not sure that it's okay under the new rule is exactly what they're trying to pull here. They're really just trying to make everybody out of safety, an abundance of safety, apply for and receive a federal firearm license. So then they'd be subject to, you know, once you get one of these FFLs, you're subject to a whole ton of regulations and inspections at your home if that's where your FFL address is. And you can't get the FFL if you live in a place where it's not allowed by the local zoning. You can't get one at all.
Right. So, I mean, what's going to happen here with this rule? Honestly, I mean, is it going to be one lawsuit after another?
Probably, yeah. You know, I'm not sure who, but I can tell you that a whole bunch of us have said, oh, there's definitely going to be a lawsuit, including National Rifle Association, Gun Owners of America, Firearm Policy Coalition, and, you know, thousands of other people across the country. We're all committed to litigating this and knocking it out. It's just a matter of who puts together the personnel and the complaint first.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know you've mentioned it. You know, the only way you rectify these things is in a courtroom. And that's the only way you fix
sadly,
it.
Sadly,
right?
I mean, that's I suppose there could be a legislative fix because you know, clear guidance from Congress could tell the agency what to do, but you would need. A legislature and a White House who all have common sense on this issue, and I have hope, but it certainly isn't what we have right now.
Yeah. So, what about the new rules in Michigan, too? I mean, you got new rules everywhere. What would you expect? Just let me ask you this. What would you expect if the Democrats got a slight majority in the Congress, like one vote in the House and one vote in the Senate in Washington, we'd see all of this just codified, wouldn't we?
We would. And then, you know, the last hope is going to be what is essentially the last surviving institution that operates the way it was meant to, which is the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets complicated, right? There are all kinds of historical reasons that the agencies are getting away with essentially making up law. And, you know, one of the cases goes back to World War II. I call it the root of all evil, Wickard v. Filburn. And I just found out yesterday from one of my former law students that a group in Ohio is actually challenging that case via the avenue of home distilling of liquor. The idea being that, that it should be unconstitutional to stop me from cooking up some corn mash on my stove.
I agree with that, by the way, on a Friday. You know, you want to come over and compare recipes? I agree. I'm an
legal,
American.
Right?
Yeah, if I want to cook some sour mash on the stove, just don't blow the apartment up, Steve. You know the rules. Anyhow.
Yeah. No, you don't want me experimenting, trust me. But, you know, if somebody knows what he's doing and wants to make his own as opposed to buying it at the store, what the hell's wrong with that?
I agree. I should be, but taxes, Doolin taxes. Anyhow, Steve Doolin always here to help us out, see clearly. Thank you, Doolin.
I try. Thank you,
Trevor. You do a wonderful job. All right. Thank you much.
So do you, sir.
There you go. All right. It is a free-for-all Friday. It's the Steve Gerber Show.